Todsville Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nyberg. We are located at 4137 Todds Road, 2 miles outside of Manowar Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddsroadgracechurch.com. Now here's our pastor, Todd Nyberg.
In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." What does that mean? To be filled with the Spirit. Religion will have a whole lot to say about that subject, but a little grammar lesson I think would be very helpful. This is spoken in the present tense in the original and the passive voice. Present tense means be being filled with the Spirit. It's not a one-time event. It is something that is continual. Be being filled with the Spirit. And it's spoken of in the passive voice. That means you don't fill yourself. You don't fill yourself with the Spirit. You are filled with the Spirit. It's not something you do to cause it to take place. Be being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, the first thing and the most important thing we need to understand is, who is this Spirit of whom Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, profligacy, but be filled with the Spirit"? Well, he is speaking of the third person of the triune Godhead. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's God the Holy Spirit. God is one God in three distinct persons. Do I understand that? Of course I don't. Neither do you. Do I believe it? With all my heart. It is what the Scriptures teach concerning who God is. Now, if we don't have the Bible, all we have is my opinion, all we have is your opinion. And both of my opinion and your opinion is worthless in this thing of knowing the character of God. Somebody says, "Here's what I think about God." Doesn't matter what you think. God has revealed himself in his word. And in his word, he reveals himself as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, one God in three distinct persons. Now, when the Lord said we were to baptize people in Matthew chapter 28, he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The three different persons of the Godhead. The Trinity. Somebody says the word Trinity is not in the Bible. I realize that, but it sure doesn't mean it's not taught. God is one God in three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Do you remember when Ananias and his wife Sapphira acted deceitfully in Acts chapter 5? Peter said to them, "Why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie unto the Holy Ghost? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." The Holy Spirit is God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity, co-eternal, co-equal with God the Father and God the Son. God is one God in three distinct persons. Now, God the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an influence. He's not a force. He's a person, the third person of the Godhead. And he's first mentioned in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, where we read, "The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." It was he who came upon the Virgin Mary to conceive the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost. Now somebody says, I don't believe that. Well, I'm sorry, but it's what the Scripture teaches. If Christ was just a mere man like me or you, he'd have a sinful nature like me and you do, and he couldn't do anything for us. But he is the eternal Son of God, conceived by the Holy Ghost in the womb of the Virgin Mary. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He is with the Father and the Son, eternal. There's a time when there was no time, and all there was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit dwelling in unity, rejoicing in one another. Now, they created the universe. God the Father created the universe. God the Son created the universe. God the Spirit created the universe. But God the Holy Spirit has all the attributes of God the Father and God the Son. You know how it says regarding God the Son, in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily? He has every attribute of God. He's sovereign. He's all-powerful. He knows everything. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. He's not bound by space or time. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's immutable. He can't change. He's independent. He has no needs. He has life in Himself. That which is said of the Son is also said of the Spirit. In Him dwells all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily. These three are one, and He's God. But understand this, His activity is never separate from the person and work of Christ. And let me repeat that. His activity is never separate from the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord said regarding Him, He shall not speak of Himself. He will glorify Me. He'll guide you into all truth. Now, whenever you hear a preacher speaking a lot about the Holy Spirit, it's because he doesn't know the Spirit of God. If a preacher has the Spirit of God, he's exalting the Lord Jesus Christ and the salvation that's in Him. If you hear a preacher making much of the Spirit of God, it's because he doesn't have the Spirit of God. He's got another spirit. The one who exalts the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who has the Spirit of God. Now, the Holy Spirit was and is the Creator. He, with the Father and the Son, created the universe. They said, the one God revealed in three persons said, let us make man in our own image. And not only is He the author of the first creation, He's the author of the second creation. That's speaking of the new birth. That's speaking of regeneration. Now, for us to understand the new birth, we've got to understand man is dead in sins. He's spiritually dead. What can a dead man do? Nothing. He has to be given life by the Spirit of God. And He is the author of this new creation. He put something there that was not there before. A new heart. Scripture says we're made partakers of the divine nature. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. The Lord said, the wind blows where it wills. You can't control it. The wind blows where it wills. You hear the sound thereof, and you don't know from whence it comes or whether it goes. Even so is everyone who is born of the Spirit. He sovereignly gives life to those the Father's elected and those the Son redeemed. Creation is the work of the Spirit of God. I love this scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Paul said, but we're bound to thank God always for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation, or elected you to salvation. If you're saved, It's because God elected you in the beginning, before the foundation of the world, to be saved. But the verse doesn't stop there. He's chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Now, if you're elect, you're going to experience the sanctifying, life-giving work of the Spirit of God. And the evidence of that is belief of the truth. There are some who teach election, but they don't present election as it really is, because they make it sound like if you're elect, you'll be saved, whether or not you believe or whether you don't believe. It doesn't matter. You'll be saved if you're elect, even if you don't believe. That's not so. That is anti-gospel. That is anti-Christ. That is diminishing from the work of Christ. If you're elect, you'll be born again to believe on Christ through the belief of the truth. Now, the first person of the Trinity, God the Father, elects. He chooses who will be saved. The second person of the Trinity, God the Son, redeems and justifies. He is the one who makes those the Father elected to be just before God by putting away their sins and giving them His righteousness. The third person of the Blessed Trinity, the Spirit, of whom Paul says we're to be filled, regenerates. He gives life to a dead sinner and causes them to believe on Christ. Now, all three persons of the Godhead have their work in salvation, and each work is essential. You cannot preach the gospel and not preach the electing work of the Father. You cannot preach the gospel and not preach the successful redemption of the work of the Son for those the Father gave Him, the elect. Christ died for the elect and accomplished their salvation. And you can't preach the gospel and not preach the work of God the Holy Spirit in giving life to those the Father elected and those the Son redeemed. This Spirit that Paul tells us to be filled with is the Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. God the Holy Spirit is the author of Scripture. Peter said, "Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Every word of the Bible is inspired by the Spirit of God to reveal who God is. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 that the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. He's the author of every word of the Bible. He is called the Spirit of truth. He's called the Spirit of Christ. He's called the Spirit of grace. He's called the Eternal Spirit. He's called the Spirit of God. He's called the Holy Spirit. He's called the Comforter. And everything that you and I experience in salvation, if we have faith, if we look to Christ, that's what faith is. It's a looking to Christ and resting in Him as all I need to make me accepted before God. I'm actually trusting Him as my salvation. That's the work of God the Holy Spirit within me. If I experience true repentance, if I have a change of mind about God, about myself, about how He saves sinners by Christ, it's God the Holy Spirit that has worked that in me. If I love God, if I love His Word, that's the work of God the Holy Spirit in me. Now, what is the preaching of the gospel without the Holy Spirit? Peter said in 1 Peter 1:12, he spoke of those who have preached the gospel with the Holy Spirit sent down from heaven. There is no true preaching of the gospel without the Holy Spirit. It's just an exercise of futility. You might say what's true, but it won't do any good unless the Holy Spirit blesses it and causes us to hear and to receive and to believe. He's got to give us a new heart. He's got to give us those hearing ears and that receptive heart. The Holy Spirit works through the preaching of the gospel. My preaching is vain. It won't do anything. if all you hear is my voice. It's only if God the Holy Spirit blesses it and you're made to see that this is the Word of the living God. Now, he is said to be the earnest of the believer. That's the pledge. The earnest, you know what an earnest payment is. It's the proof that you're going to have something. He's called the seal, the sealing of the Spirit. That means that's the proof that we're authentic. We have God the Holy Spirit. And is he, a sealing is to preserve. When you can something and sealing it, it preserves it. We're preserved. We persevere in the faith because of the work of the Holy Spirit. The believer said to walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. And that doesn't mean sometimes you're walking in the flesh and sometimes you're walking in the Spirit. You're always looking to Christ only. That's what it is to walk in the Spirit. You look to Christ only. We read in 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's liberty. Where God the Holy Spirit is, there's liberty. There's freedom. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again in that yoke of bondage, the bondage of salvation by works. What freedom there is in knowing that all God requires of me, I have. I have no debts. Christ has paid them all. I have been set free by what he has done. If the Son shall make you free, you're free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is this liberty, there is this freedom. Now, it is God the Holy Spirit of whom Paul speaks when he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Now, when Paul says, be not drunk with wine or intoxicated with wine, understand this. Drunkenness is sin. Intoxication is sin. That's all you can call it. I think it is interesting where he says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Now, that doesn't mean drinking wine is sin. It's not sinful to drink alcohol. The Lord drank alcohol. He was even called by his enemies a wine bibber. They tried to make an issue out of him drinking. Paul said to Timothy, drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Not a lot of wine, but a little wine. There's no sin in wine. When we take the Lord's table, we use real wine because that's what they use then. We don't use grape juice. That's watering down the gospel. We use wine, and that's what we're supposed to do. And so there's no sin in drinking wine, but there is sin in drunkenness. Now, why is Paul making this issue, putting these things together? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Peter called it excess of riot. The Lord called it, when he told the story of the prodigal, riotous living. When you're intoxicated, it affects everything about you. It affects your thinking. It affects your movement. It affects everything about you. And what he's saying is, don't be drunk with wine where everything is affected by that, but be filled with the Spirit of God where everything about you is affected by being filled with the Spirit of God. Just like being drunk with wine affects everything, being filled with the Spirit of God affects everything. That's what he means. Now, what is he talking about when he's talking about this filling of the Spirit? Now, sometimes when the Scripture is speaking of being filled with the Spirit, it's talking about being filled with the supernatural gifts of the Spirit of God. Now, in the New Testament, the apostles could lay their hands on you. Nobody else could do this, only the apostles. Acts chapter 8 says when they saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. It's only the apostles that could do this. They could lay their hands upon men and they would be given these supernatural abilities. They would be able to heal the sick. They would be able to raise the dead. They would be able to speak in other languages wherever they went. Didn't matter what the language was, they could preach the gospel in that language. That's what the gift of tongues is. It's not some kind of heavenly gibberish that people speak of today. It's the ability to speak the gospel and preach the gospel in other languages. You could be bitten by snakes and it wouldn't hurt you if you had this gift. You could drink poison and it wouldn't hurt you. Now, I want you to understand this. those gifts have ceased. They are no longer in operation. And if someone claims them, don't believe them. They don't really have them. If they did have these gifts, why aren't they going into hospitals and healing people? Because they don't have the gift. That's why. These men could go into hospitals and heal people, and they'd be healed immediately. It wouldn't be gradual. They would be healed immediately. And they could even raise the dead. And if somebody claims to have these gifts, I want to say, well, here's a bottle of Drano. Drink it, and let's see how you handle that. If you have the gift, you do it. Now, of course, nobody's going to do it, and I wouldn't want them to do it. But the point is, that part of the filling of the Spirit is over. It was over with the apostles. When people talk about the continuation of the gifts today, they're not continued. And the Scripture teaches that because it says through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given. So that's not talking about that part of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Also, we read of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is regeneration, being immersed in the Spirit of God, being born of the Spirit. That's when God, this is a one-time event that continues the rest of your life. It's called being born again, being born from above. There was a time when you had no spiritual life. There's a time when you do. God gives you a new heart. You're birthed of the Spirit of God, and you're given a new nature, a nature that was not there before. Birthed of the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and it'll never rise above that. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It is the Spirit. The Lord said, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Spirit. John 6:63, it's the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profits nothing. The flesh has nothing to do with this thing of spiritual life. This is the work of God. Just as God had no help in the work of creation, He has no help in the work of the new creation, regeneration. Begotten again by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. You hear the gospel, God gives you life, you believe. And then there is what Paul is talking about here, the filling, the continual filling of the Spirit of God. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit of God. Now, this is not a message on how to be filled with the Spirit. Billy Graham wrote a book, How to Be Born Again. How foolish. The Bible never tells you how to be born again. It tells you you must be born again. The Bible doesn't tell us how to be filled with the Spirit, but the title, the Bible does say, be ye filled with the Spirit. Be being filled with the Spirit. Now, the Lord tells us to pray for the Holy Spirit. You can read it in Luke 11:13. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, this filling of the Holy Spirit is seen, not by feeling something, but look what this passage says. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, speaking to one another, and speaking to yourself. If you're being filled with the Spirit, here's what happens. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You are so thankful that salvation really is all of grace. You're so joyous that everything that God requires of you, He looks to His Son for, and you are complete in Him, that you're wholly unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And that's making melody in your heart to the Lord. He says in verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father. You give thanks for everything, the bad stuff too, because you know who sent it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And you can give thanks for everything. If somebody says something bad about you, you can thank the Lord for it because you know that somehow it's going to end up for your good and His glory. If you get sick, you can thank the Lord for it because you know somehow it's for your good and His glory. You believe God and you're enabled to thank Him. I love what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Whatever it is you're going through, it's God's will for you. Give thanks. You're up to your neck in the will of God. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you're being filled with the Spirit, you're always keenly aware that your only way of acceptance before God and the only way you can come into God's presence is in the name of Christ. You know you only come by Him. You can't come any other way. You see, when you're being filled with the Spirit of God, you're always made keenly aware of your need of Christ to be everything in your salvation. And you don't believe salvation is by your works in any way. Verse 21, it says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. If I'm being filled with the Spirit of God, I'm going to be subject to you, and you're going to be, and if you're filled with the subject of God, you're going to be subject to me. We're going to submit to one another in love. That's what we want to do. We're not so filled with ourselves and our own self-interest and so on, but we submit to one another, seeking God's glory above all things. He says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as to the Lord. If someone is filled with the Spirit of God, they're going to submit themselves to their husbands for Christ's sake. Not necessarily even because their husbands deserve that kind of attention, but because Christ tells them to do it. It's something they want to do. When someone is being filled with the Spirit of God, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. If someone is being filled with the Spirit of God, they're going to love their wife, as Christ loved the church. That's what He says to do. And then if you go on reading in the context in chapter 6, children, obey your parents. That's what folks are going to do who are being filled with the Spirit of God. It says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. In verse 4, if people are being filled with the Spirit of God, it's going to make them better parents. He talks about servants, be obedient to them that are your masters. You're going to be a better employee. He tells the masters to treat the servants well. If you're being filled with the Spirit of Christ, you're going to treat your employees in such a way that they're going to be thankful that you're their boss. They're going to be, I'm treated well by Him. I want to work hard for Him because of the way He treats me. You see, it's going to affect everything. That's what being filled with the Spirit of God is. It's not where you feel something and you start speaking in tongues or you start doing miracles or whatever all these people claim, but it affects every area of your life. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled, be being filled with the Spirit of God, looking to Christ only. Now we have this message on DVD and CD. If you call the church, write or email, we'll send you a copy. This is Todd Nybert praying that God will be pleased to make Himself known to you. That's our prayer. Amen.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.